The words of a Rod Stewart song came to mind in recent days. It's late September and I really should be back at school, from Maggie May. Both of those things in the verse are true, but how we do school is still very different thanks to the COVID-19 pandemic. Southern Oregon University started classes again yesterday, but signs of activity on campus are still few and far between, with much instruction taking place online. Let's explore what's being done now and planned for later. Linda Schott is the president of Southern Oregon University. Thank you for joining us once again.
Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. Neil Wolf is with us as well, Southern Oregon University's Vice President for Enrollment Management and Student Affairs. Welcome, Neil.
Thank you, Jeff, and good morning.
So, President Schott, walk us through the process of making the decision how to instruct this year.
Well, we thought long and hard about this over the summer. We initially hoped that the virus would be more under control and we would be able to resume more usual activities, but as virus rates continued to rise over the summer, we determined that that would not be in the best interest of our employees, our students, or our larger community. Health and safety for all of those groups was primary as we made our decision. And so we decided to transition back again to primarily remote or online learning. The difference was that we had the summer to spend doing a better job, learning more, and our faculty, many of our faculty members were in workshops and did other kinds of trainings to learn how to better offer remote and online classes. So that's what we're doing right now.
Right. So there is some in-person instruction, though. Is that right?
I think it's very little, but we do have lab spaces set up in the science building, for example, where the spaces have been divided by plexiglass and appropriately distanced so that students who absolutely must have an in-person lab class are able to do that safely, as well as the instructors.
So, Neil Wolf, what's open, what's not? I mean, have students come back to dormitories? Have they largely decided to stay home and do their instruction from there? What's the general picture of what's open on campus?
Well, first to the question on dormitories, our residence halls have about 420 students that are have moved in over the past week and are taking their classes online from our res halls. Mm-hmm. We did offer the housing as a safe alternative and have created within housing some framework and guidance and safety precautions that students can live in a safe way and continue their education. Besides housing, a number of our student services are still available by appointment or either through remote activities. One good example is our Student Health and Wellness Center. They are seeing students for both medical and mental health appointments and other medical needs. And so we are largely open on the student services side, but with some precautions according to the guidelines and framework that the state, Jackson County, and us have created.
Do I hear that Stevenson Union has reopened, but not to the general public?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. All right. And how about the library on campus?
The library is also open to students and faculty and staff and for some engagements with friends of the library, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Right. The hours are a bit more limited at the library, but okay. They are open Sunday through Thursday, I believe.
All right, Linda Schott, let's move into talking about last year, both academic and fiscal. I mean, how big an impact on SOU's budget?
Well, the decision by the governor to close campuses and move everything remote did have a significant impact on our revenue stream. There was some loss of enrollment, although not as much as we feared. Amazingly enough, because we very quickly took some action starting in April, we were able to finish the year just a tiny bit under where we anticipated finishing it. So that's a real success story and due to lots of people's hard work. In some ways, the pandemic itself helped us. For example, we normally have expenses related to travel as faculty and staff travel to conferences, to meetings, and none of that was possible during the pandemic. So we were able to save a lot of money on travel as just one example.
Did you end up giving some money back to students because they opted out or got out of the dorms or any of those things?
Neil, would you address that?
Yeah, for a lot of students who live in our residence halls, they sign an annual contract, and we were very flexible with students to get to have them, if they didn't want to return due to their concerns, we let them out of that contract. And so we did lose some revenue from housing on that. In addition, there are some mandatory fees that our students have created, and in the spring term, we reduced those fees working with students by 20%. For example, I mentioned our Student Health and Wellness Center is open. In the spring, it was not able to be open due to the order by the governor. So as students weren't able to participate in those services, we did reduce those fees back in spring. We are doing that again for fall, but because the services are open with some limited hours, the reduction is 10% for fees. So there was some rebates provided, and students were able to get out of their housing contracts.
This is the Jefferson Exchange. We're getting a picture of life in a new academic year at Southern Oregon University from Neil Wolf, Southern Oregon University's Vice President for Enrollment Management and Student Affairs, and President Linda Schott. You're welcome to join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Your questions, your comments, your thoughts about getting back into college in the pandemic environment. Welcome here on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. Linda Schott, you mentioned some enrollment losses in the last academic year. How about versus this academic year, or versus the projections for this academic year?
When we were doing our initial budgeting back in June, we had surveyed the national landscape, and we anticipated, based on everything we were reading, that we would be down about 10% in enrollment this fall due to students who just decided not to enroll, the economic impact of the pandemic, people not wanting to travel, et cetera. We are just about at that projection. Our report on Monday was we were down about 9%, I believe. And given all of the winds facing us, we're pretty satisfied with that performance.
Now, you did give some consideration to revising the schedule because of fires. I cheat here because, of course, you know, being on the SOU campus, I get SOU emails. How many students were affected, as far as you know, by the fires?
We have about 100 students who have been impacted. Mm-hmm. Some of those are actively fighting the fires. About 15 are out on the lines fighting the fires, mm-hmm. and we are complying with the governor's order to allow those students to resume their classes whenever they are able. That leaves about 80 or 85 who were directly impacted by the fires. Neil, I think you may have more direct information on that.
No, that's correct, and the numbers are correct, but one of the things that we're doing is our Dean of Students and our Director of Housing are working with those students. Some lost their homes, some lost their roommates, and some lost some financial means. And so we are working with each individual student to either find them a place, particularly in our residence halls, or help them find other accommodations according to their need. So we do have a system called SOU Cares, where students, faculty, staff can provide us with an alert if a student does have a need, and we follow up with that student individually.
Okay. Is there a link to that at SOU.edu?
There is, and we can provide that link to you separately. But if you're on SOU.edu and search for SOU Cares, mm-hmm. it provides it goes right to that.
All right, I'll make sure we add that to our web offerings about this today. We have an email here from Norman, no town given, wants to know about over 65s and the ability to audit online courses. What is present there, Neil?
No policy changes there. If the space is available, students are able to audit. It depends on the capacity of the class and all the existing policies in place. So I would encourage you, Norma, to send us an email, check in with us, and we'll see if we can make that happen.
All right. Thanks for the email, Norman. Appreciate that. Some subjects here, you know, theater, digital cinema, fine arts, I mean, some things are just much better done in person. Are those some of the things that are actually going on now, Linda or Neil?
I do know that the professors have been able to adapt. In theater, for example, they are focusing on the classes that they felt could best be taught remotely. and moved some of the classes that need more in-person, or they thought probably needed in-person instruction, to later in the year. We are now considering what we will do for the winter term, whether we will once again be remote and online, and the faculty will adjust as we make those decisions together. This is a situation where it doesn't work for us to take a hard line. We're trying to be flexible and adaptable and just make change as we know we need to make change and adapt as we need to adapt.
I got a message from Ham in Ashland asking if students have concerns about COVID guidelines enforcement, who should they contact?
They can contact our Dean of Students office, mm-hmm. and through the, either the SOU CARES system or directly phone or email, or according to their walk-in appointments, and we can take care of that.
Okay. Neil Wolf and Linda Schott, again, our guests on the Jefferson Exchange, respectively Vice President for Enrollment Management and Student Affairs and President at Southern Oregon University. You are welcome to join our conversation about SOU getting back into gear with classes as of yesterday, primarily remotely. 800-838-3760 for your thoughts by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Linda Schott, physical well-being aside, how attending to the mental health of students and staff? This has been a long haul, and it's rather strange to be in a situation where you are part of this campus community that you don't really feel a community with in person.
Well, Jeff, before I answer that, I did want to acknowledge that I believe we had 23 employees who mm-hmm. lost their homes. And, of course, our community's heart has gone out to those folks. Mm-hmm. We have offered assistance. Some of them were housed temporarily. We wanted to make sure that we were supporting our employees to help them be able to get back to a point of being able to work and do their jobs. So we believe that everybody is more or less back and in a safe space at this point.
All right, so 23 employees in addition to about 100 students affected by fires?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think it's really important to understand the stress on people's mental health during this time. The word unprecedented keeps getting used, and I'm a little bit tired of it, but it really is unprecedented. And I've called upon the campus to be kind and compassionate and give grace to each other when they can, because we're all trying to do the best we can. Remember that there are still financial issues that face us as well. We have over 300 employees who are furloughed for 20% to 40%. So those folks are dealing with a workload issue, the pandemic, and still trying to do their jobs as best they can. So I think the best thing we can do is all be compassionate and supportive of each other as we work through a very, very trying situation.
So a furlough of about 20% of their time, they're taking about a day off a week, is that right?
That's correct, and that is all classified and administrative staff, including myself, mm-hmm. and that continues through the end of December, unless something great happens and we're able to end it before that. We would love, you know, enrollment to increase or additional state funding to come through that would enable us to stop those furloughs sooner.
Mm-hmm. To the point of state funding, a bit of a surprise yesterday with the most recent legislative revenue forecast, which was about $2 billion bigger than expectations because of the apparent rebounding of the economy, although a lot of that money is believed to have come from federal checks going to people that they then spent in the economy. But does this offer any prospects in discussions you may have had with legislators for something to soften the cushion the blow a bit at SOU?
I think the primary reassurance is that we won't have cuts during the middle of the year. We were fearing if it was a negative revenue projection that there might be reductions made later this term or in the middle of the year. At this point, the state has held the funding for higher ed harmless for this year, and that was great news for SOU.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this academic year, it seems like you're going to be in no worse shape than you are now.
From the side of state funding,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Right.
So we're waiting to see how enrollment turns out, and heaven forbid any other catastrophes that could fall this
right,
area.
Right. Had enough for sure for now. Neil Wolf, at what point do you say, okay, we're done? This is the enrollment for the fall quarter.
Well, typically we do what we call a census around the fourth week of the fall term. So we have a few weeks of students kind of add and drop classes. And we're seeing just regular behavior there. Students may drop a class here and there. So we have a few weeks until enrollment stabilizes. But as President Schott mentioned, we are within our modeling and are fairly happy with what we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing a lot. One of our biggest drops was actually from students from California not being able to travel here because of their impact either from COVID or from the fires. And
right.
So we are seeing some reduction in our California numbers.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about the fact that not only do you have the fire situation in the Rogue Valley, but also students who might be affected by fires in California as well.
That's correct. Typically, we had 20% of enrollment is from California, and as our friends from the state of California are also being greatly impacted there, their ability to come to school has been impacted.
So for you in particular, Neil Wolf, I mean, student affairs, you're the vice president in charge of that. I mean, how do you kind of keep track of what the mood on campus is and how students are doing when you can't really see them?
That's a great question. And so what our folks have done, we have a fantastic staff that tries really hard to build community. And this generation is more familiar with building community online than perhaps my generation or others. So our students are used to community online, and so we have a number of programs and outreach services that do so very effectively. We just went through some week of welcome events and found great student participation on that. We've got a great relationship with our student government, as well as with advisory councils from students. So our students are very well engaged and are they're not unfamiliar with online community building.
So Linda Schott, less than a minute now. It must feel like you've taken a couple of torpedoes, but the ship is still sailing.
Yes, I think our campus would welcome a little bit of smooth sailing from right now. But we have a great campus, and everyone is really pulling together and being supportive of each other. And we're trying to be as supportive of our community as we can, as we know that Ashland took a big hit economically from the pandemic, and now the communities of Talent and Phoenix. So we are collaborating and cooperating with folks from across the county to try to be of as much assistance as we possibly can.
Linda Schott is Southern Oregon University's president, Neil Wolf, vice president for enrollment management and student affairs. Thank you both for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange. Best of luck through the quarter.